Blog Talk Radio.
The world, premier,
Yo, these cats the attic, man. Yo, that's them kids out of Jersey. Yo, they funny, yo, they keep it tight real, son. You gotta check them out. Wednesday night, Block Talk Radio. Yo, they funny. It's Wednesday night, and welcome to the premier podcast, The Attic. Co-producer, oh, this joker be locking it up. Messenger,
he real tight with God.
Baby girl,
oh, she got facts on facts.
Baby bro,
he funny.
Nurse Carmen,
she be keeping it real.
And Sister Tippy,
got all research on lock.
Sit back and let us entertain you for the next 60 minutes. Good evening, podcast audience. It is co-producer. It's Wednesday night, and it's time for The Attic. As always, my brothers, my sisters, my family, my friends, we get together on Wednesday night, and we try to give you a different perspective on what's happening around the nation. And again, it's a very unique perspective. In fact, I would probably go as far as to say, it didn't see that coming.
Said y'all need a new DJ, I'm your man.
You're in prison.
It's a minor challenge. For an alcoholic, been sober 5 hours.
Oh no.
That's my opening, and let's get ready to rock and roll. Hey Cass, how you doing tonight?
Hey, we doing
feeling
great.
Good.
Okay. Everybody good?
Yeah.
Real good.
Good. Okay. All right. Hey, listen. I mean, just a little more energy, and we can get this ship sailing. No, but tonight we got an interesting lineup for you. As always, Cast of the Attic. We're gonna give you our version on some shit, and we hope that it's close to what you thought it should be. I'm going to start tonight off, Cass, again, with an interview. Now, I want to tell you before I do this, it's a radio interview, but it's going to take about two and a half minutes. Please bear with me, because that's going to segue right into our opening topic. And in fact, the opening topic is, as a Black American, understanding the origin and the meaning of the Star Spangled Banner, should I be forced to sing that? As a Black American, understanding the origin and the true meaning of the Star Spangled Banner, as a Black American, should I be forced to sing that? And I got a clip. Just bear with me for a few minutes and hear me out.
I just wanted to share something with you. Sean King, who writes for the New York Daily News and who I follow on Twitter, and if you don't follow Sean King on Twitter.
I thought I had a clip.
Just wanted to share something with you. Sean King,
okay,
who writes for the New York Daily News.
But listen, yes, I do. Hold on. Hey, Otis, you still with me?
Yes.
Of course.
We're here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
We waiting on you, BDB.
And he writes regularly for the New York Daily News. He wrote this piece called Why I'll Never Stand Again for the Star-Spangled Banner. And I just want to share three paragraphs from Sean's piece.
Is that clear?
First off, the song, he's talking about the Star-Spangled Banner.
Yes.
First off, the song, which was originally written as a poem, didn't become our national anthem until 1931, which is 117 years after Francis Scott Key wrote it. Most of us have no true idea what in the hell we've been hearing or singing all these years. Because as it turns out, Key's full poem actually has a third stanza, which few of us have ever heard. In it, he openly celebrates the murder of slaves. Yes, really. It goes like this. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. And the star-spangled banner and triumph doth wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. And then Sean's King goes on to explain what that means. He says, well, it's always been known that the song was written during American slavery, and that when those words about this nation being the land of the free didn't apply to the millions who had been held in bondage, few of us had any idea that the song itself was rooted in the celebration of slavery and the murder of Africans in America who were being hired by the British military to give them strength, not only in the War of 1812, but in the Battle of Fort McHenry in 1814. These black men were called the Corps of Colonial Marines, and they served valiantly for the British military. And Francis Scott Key despised them. He was glad to see them experience terror and death in war, to the point that he wrote a poem about it, and that poem is now our national anthem. While I fundamentally reject the notion that anyone who owned other human beings was either good, moral, or decent, Francis Scott Key left absolutely no doubt that he was a stone-cold bigot. He came from generations of plantation-owning bigots. Yeah, I don't call them plantations anymore. I call them concentration camps. But in the end, they got wealthy off of it. Key, as district attorney of Washington, fought for slavery and against abolitionists every chance he got. Even when Africans in D.C. were injured or murdered, Francis Scott Key stood strong against justice for them. He openly spoke racist words against Africans in America. Key said that they were, quote, a distinct and inferior race of people, which all experience proves to be the greatest evil that afflicts a community, end quote. This is-
now, that brings me into, and again, that's Sean King. That's not Kenny Hodges making that statement or making those statements. And again, here's my question to get this conversation started. As a black American, now that you understand the origin of the national song, do you think we should be singing that shit? Or do you think maybe the nation should think about, let's have another song? I mean, you can leave that song exactly as it is. Just take away the national anthem from it, and then let's go on with life. What's your thoughts on that, Cass?
Why should anybody be made to sing anything is my first question.
Well, I don't think we are forced to sing it. One doesn't have to sing it if they don't want to. You don't have to stand. I am 58 years old, and my dad told me when I started grade school, I'll never forget it, well, you don't have to stand for the Star Spangled Banner. You can sit, and if anybody says anything, you refer them to me.
Well, see, you know, but see, here's my point, though. My point being, if now that we understand the origin of that song, I'm just simply saying to the nation, now that is exposed, that third stanza, which a lot of people say, well, we don't even sing that verse, but it's still a part of the song. And now that we know that, could we not as a nation say, you know what, yes, that song does not depict this nation, and we'll get a new song. Or we'll have no song for a little while because they didn't pick this up as the national anthem to over 100 years after it was written. And trust me, there are a lot of songs out there that would probably give a better view of the nation than us having a slave anthem. And I'm just saying, I don't think it's right that at ballparks we should have to hear that song anymore, not on a national level. That's just my thought. Somebody talk to me, please.
Well,
George Clinton, One Nation Under Rule.
If they were to play it at a ballpark, I got no problem. Only problem I have with it, well, the problem that I have with it is the fact that we want to consider it our, as you said, our national anthem. I don't care if you own a ballpark and you want to play it as your leadoff song. I don't care. But just the fact that as a nation, this is what we hold true to, And for quite a long time, even to today, and this is why you're not getting much pushback as far as thinking about changing it, because there's still a long way America's got to go that every man is equal. So there's still a way that we've got to go. And that's one way of being able to determine whether we've got there when that conversation happens. Right now, the people that are still in control of this society, of the United States, they're still under that mindset. It's changing slowly. Like you said, it was 100 years after this song was actually written. But it's changing. But until that set of folks are no longer in a position of authority, it's going to be there. And as everybody else said, you're not made to sing that. They'd like for you to.
Well, again, now once again.
Yes.
Go, hey, how you doing, brother?
This is Mike. Pretty good, my dear brothers and sisters. Greetings from you from Asia. And regarding what you say, actually, you know, the national anthem in the United States must be, you know, rewritten, as you mentioned, because the things happened in the past with the slavery, with all the things we know and you know. And so it would be much better if they change it to something universal, something that everybody included in it.
And that's what I'm saying. And again, the Star Spangled Banner can stay the Star Spangled Banner. But all I'm saying is, as a nation understanding that is not where we are today, if they understand that, then again, all we're saying is, let's remove that national anthem from the title of that song. That's all I'm at. You don't have to change the song. You don't have to take any verses out. Leave the song the way it is, but just not make it the national anthem.
But yeah, but you got to understand also, I mean, we're referring to the song, but we still got America where they don't care if people die. They don't care if people don't have insurance. They don't care if people don't have a job. They don't care if people get shot.
Amen.
So that song still kind of represents
it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's
how
nothing
they
to
feel.
Them. Yeah.
Right. If
That's
I
right.
have my choice,
and
keep,
it's a
keep
terrible
that song.
Song.
As
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, right now we have a super soldiers and we have autonomous, robots that is like a fly, and it goes to the enemy line and goes to their head. I guess they inject or they do something, the skull will be broken and die. So that's why, we are in this time and age.
What is that? What is that doing with the Star Spangled Banner? I'm sorry, you lost me, Mike.
What?
Yeah. No, I mean, we are in the new age, new system. I mean, that we did not have this kind of super soldiers similar to Hannah. Everybody.
Yeah, but no,
that.
But what I'm saying is, you know, as a nation, if they have, if that's the song that they want to play as a national anthem. You know, I mean, you think about some of the sports teams that were getting sued to change their name because the Redskins, because their names depicted negatively on Indian tribes. I mean, so I'm simply saying, and again, I'm pretty steadfast on it, that, you know, as a military soldier, when I'm in uniform, I'm under oath and contract. Part of my general orders is to salute that. But I got to tell you, once I hang that uniform up, I will never disrespect the song. But all that saluting, you know, I don't know. I don't feel the same about that now. I do it now strictly because.
Wait a minute, Battle.
Go ahead.
But the saluting is the flag,
you
not the song.
The flag. You don't salute the song.
Yeah.
You sure don't.
They happen to be playing it while you're saluting it, but you're saluting the flag, and that's some old bull. That's some bull too, but that's another series.
So I'm point messenger.
So are you guys saying that we need to change the national anthem of USA?
Yes, we are.
Is that,
yes, we are.
Yes,
that's
okay.
All I'm saying.
So
yeah,
that's
because, that's the, yeah. That's the conversation.
That's fine with me. I mean, I have no problem with that. You're right.
And again, I think that if the nation just did something small like that, again, you start a healing process without even focusing on a healing process, if that makes sense. But the thing I would like to say about that is in the 1800s, man, in the 1800s, they had already laid out the plan that we don't give a shit about what. We are not going to lose this country to black Americans, man. Everybody understand that. That plan, I mean, in the 1800s, they've already got a devise that a whole race of people is just inferior and can never be equal. That's messed up on a whole other scale, man. That just goes to show how deep that BS is interwoven into the fabric of this nation. Hey, but as we continue on to something a little more criminal-like, how do you feel about colleges and universities who go through great lengths to recruit star athletes from around the country? And what I mean by that is, do you think it's right, because you have a son who's a senior in high school, he's 6'9", got mad handle, can handle a basketball, and one of the big schools want him. Do you think it's right that they put your family up in the house for at least 4 years while you go to school and play ball for them? What do you think?
I
do too.
I think it's fine. I think they should be passing off.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the schools, the money, I mean, they put a lot into their program. But if you can afford to give a coach a $7 to $8 million a year contract,
that means you got money in the program.
Right. That means you got money, because the coach don't need no $8 million a year contract.
Well, again,
he's coaching that talent.
Like I said, I don't think that they should be under contract, but let me tell you, I am a firm believer that those kids, everybody in college, I mean, if you on the varsity team, at the very least, you should have an apartment and a car. Now, watch this. You don't own the apartment and you don't own the car. That's school property, because you on the team, you get that. So, in other words, in your 4 years, you got to move out of the apartment and turn that car back in. So, it ain't a gift, but it's a perk to get you and the rest of my team focus on what we got to do. Because you got to remember, if we talk about football, every time your school goes to a bowl game, that's at least, I'm not certain, at least $5 million. I mean, the cheesiest of the bowl games. Any bowl game gets you at least $5 million to your school. Now, a lot of people say, well, the school's paying for their education. Yo, so my education might be $200,000, but I'm going to help make you over $10 million. That's not a fair exchange. That's not a fair exchange. So what's your feeling?
I agree with you.
Go ahead, talk to me.
But I'm not sure that I can really justify it. But, okay, so using your example, my senior high school daughter, soccer player, gets a full ride to wherever. I know that's not going to – I'm going to go back to your example because mine isn't going to hold water.
No, that's good. I like that. Go ahead.
No.
Well, you said son playing basketball, and I'm thinking female. But anyway – your child gets a scholarship, and now he's going to go play ball. And first of all, a car for 4 years. If he's there to get an education and play ball, what's he doing with a car?
Now, everybody don't get this.
Well, you said the star player.
Yes, the star player. Yes, yeah. If you're a star, you get this.
I recall Maurice Claret had a lot of freedom.
I think everybody everyone on that college team is or was a star somewhere out of high school. That's how they were able to get on that college team.
And they're contributing to the greater good.
That's right. And so, and the money that – see, and you're talking about just that bowl game. But if you go to a Roll Tide game, how much you think they pull in each game?
Millions.
Oh, yeah.
Billions.
They're caking up. They're definitely caking up.
Wait.
So that's what I'm saying. So because they're doing it. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go.
Half the time, you know, we talk about they've given them this education. But truth be told, half the
yes,
time,
we know
especially
that.
The star athletes,
yeah.
they're not even
you ain't going to class.
Education.
Well,
right,
now that's
you're
old
even getting an
all
education.
All right, so
yeah, it's
what
old
you're
school,
saying
but,
is but, I mean, what co-producer was saying was, you know, you're the star player, and because you're playing, your school is making, you know, boatloads of money, so you should reap the benefit. That's basically what he was saying.
No, you
that
should, no,
players,
you should reap.
The player.
Yes, some
the
of
player.
The benefit. Some of the benefit.
Okay, so.
Let's take.
So translate that like an employee in a private sector job. So if the, so the post.
No. No, we're talking athletes, though. We're talking college athletes, though.
Okay. So just because the boss makes more money, you should just by default?
No, not at all.
You should, but you should get paid. You don't go to work and don't get nothing.
So what does he need to do? He's in to play ball and go to school. What does he need to do? Why does he need to work?
He need pocket change. He need help a star athlete. I need flash.
Change.
I need flash cash. Come on, I'm being for real. I need some new clothes.
No, I'm
not just
for real.
Clothes. No,
like
man.
I said,
I'm not sure
that I can back it up. I just think these are kids. They don't know what they're getting into. These coaches are developing talent. They're not just there to, you know, blow a whistle and make them run suicide.
Okay.
It doesn't
all
work
right.
like that.
That's exactly how it works.
I think it's a new slavery.
I got the mic now. Hold on. One person. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I think they enslave them, too, by saying million-dollar contracts and et cetera. So basically they're a slave to their... whether it's football, whether it's cricket, whether it's whatever, soccer, etc. So these people, they get paid, and they pay them high taxes as well. And then pretty much, you know, it's a slave system anyway, whatever you look at it. Go ahead.
But they don't get contracts, million-dollar contracts in college.
No, listen, all I'm saying is this. Okay, listen. I'm saying college athletes bring a lot of money into the school. And, again, I'm just saying. I don't think that there's anything wrong. In fact, I think it should be a NCAA rule that, again, they get, you know, they again, because they're making money for the school, in addition to possibly getting a degree, I think they should be somewhat compensated. I mean, something to the fact of, let's say we take the gross the gross earnings for the year, and 1% of that is split amongst the team. So again, I'm not even trying to get them paid on a regular scale, but I think they should get perks. I'm all in favor of that.
So how are you going to decide? How are you going to decide who gets the perk and who doesn't? The quarterback,
well, again,
the star. What about the center who blocked him? What about the running back who took the ball and ran? How are you going to decide who gets what?
That's why I said everybody needs to get paid.
I get that, but the star
gets
more.
No, the star can't get more. Co-producer.
Well, the star always gets more somehow or another, no matter where you're at. The star employee on your job gets more than the regular guy. So what you give the star employee, that's up to you guys. But everyone should get paid. It shouldn't be a fine. The athlete gets in trouble, and nobody else gets in trouble. Bookies make money off of sports companies. They sign contracts with the college for $20 million so that they must wear their sneakers. No, there's no written contract per se, as in professional sport, but that scholarship per se is your contract. And so it needs to be negotiated in that.
Well, listen.
I think you're getting in a real slippery slope if you start paying college athletes or giving them perks like cars and apartments.
I don't want to bring a news alert, but they're already doing it. I'm just saying, make it legal.
That's right.
Yeah, they're already doing it. I'm just saying, let's make it legal.
That doesn't mean that's what it should be.
Right.
Well, okay. I mean, listen, we got pros and cons on it. Again, I'm just saying, if I'm here balling out for you, then you should break me off a little bit. All that can't be yours.
You're a kid. You're in college, and we're a team. And I'm developing you so that maybe you have a future NFL or whatever the case may be. Maybe.
I hear your argument.
I don't like it.
All right.
Thank you. It may not hold water, but I don't like it.
Okay. But listen, here's a unusual break in the middle of a podcast. I don't usually do the music thing. Well, you know, we're talk radio, talk podcast. But Baby Sis isn't here with us tonight, because she's celebrating her 6th anniversary. And I told her we're going to give a shout out to her and that big linebacker ass husband. He's a big guy. to my smooth brother in law, Keith. What's up, man? Mad love to Baby Sis and her hubby Hub while they celebrate 6 years. Hey, Baby Sis, this is for you. Yeah, I know you thought I forgot. Yeah, I know you thought I forgot. Baby Sis, that's what you get. You get a minute of it's our anniversary. I hope you and Big K have a wonderful evening, and we'll catch up with you next week. Now, back to the goings on. We talked about that rotten ass song, Star Spangled Banner. We went 50-50 on should college athletes be making money while they in school legally. Let's talk about something a little more wholesome. Military benefits. I'm a strong believer that this nation don't do half as much as they should do for the members of the nation who have dedicated their lives. And when I say their lives, I'm talking about a 6-year contract minimum to the military. And I think that if any member of society goes into the military when they come out, certain things like education shouldn't be an issue for them. Health care should not be an issue for them. And being homeless shouldn't be an issue. I think that the nation as a whole should have safeguards in place that no vet ever goes through that. Can I get some love? Can I get some backup on that?
I agree. That makes sense.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, some people, when we have this conversation, because I talk about this a lot on my Soldier to Soldier nonprofit webpage, and a lot of soldiers will say, "Well, you didn't go." Yes, you know, I had to slip that in. But a lot of soldiers tell me, you know, if you didn't go to combat, let me explain something to you. And again, I've been in the military 39 years, since 1976. You try to figure out all the places I've been. But I tell soldiers, that doesn't matter. If a soldier is lucky, and I call it straight luck, if a soldier is lucky enough to never have to deploy and go to combat, don't look at that soldier like they're a coward. because when the numbers are pulled, he didn't have anything to do with that.
Right.
So this is why when I talk veteran benefits, if you raised your right hand and went in the military and served 6 years, now what a stipulation. Stipulation may be if you got disabled prior to 6 years, then you covered. Any time in a campaign, war, police action, you're covered. But again, I think that as a nation, it'll do two things, actually. It will actually stimulate recruitment, so we'll have a bigger army. And it will make those soldiers in there just a little more dedicated, not to even begin to question the original dedication, but it'll take a little further when they know that when this is over, you know, because I put my life on the line for the nation going to take care of me. And when I say education, no, it doesn't mean you got to go to Harvard. But you should be able to go to the community college free, your state university free. That's what I mean when I say free education. Go ahead.
No, I was co-signing. Absolutely.
Yeah. And the fact that a veteran could ever be homeless, that should never happen in this nation. And let me go as far as to say, I don't care that vet has turned to drugs. I don't care that vet has turned to alcohol. I care not about any of that. If you are a veteran, there should always be somewhere for you to go to get treatment, whether it's once, twice, three times. It doesn't matter. That's just my thoughts. Again, because that's the danger of his job. You know, we go into the military, and again, nobody wants to go to combat. In fact, most people go in the military for education benefits.
Right.
But hey, when that call is sent out and you got to ruck up, that's not an option. You don't get to say yes or no. So to all my vets, man, you know, shout out to you, man. But get up off of those vets that never deployed before. That's a brother in arms. That's your battle. Hold on. I got a little emotional. Okay, here we go. Now we're back.
Stop it.
I got emotional, man. Hey man, you know what? I didn't want to get on this topic, but I have to. Anybody hear about the murder out in California for a young entrepreneur? You know, and again, given the story, like I heard the story, a gangster turned businessman, Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah.
I think, and again, and let me tell you, let me remind the cast, your co-producers will be 60 in less than 60 days. So I didn't personally know of him because if you're new to the rap game, I probably don't get it. You know, I don't get it. From what I understand about this brother out in L.A., he was trying to change the game. So I'm glad somebody else is up on that. He was trying to change the game. He was showing musicians, you got a rap, you got a gift. Do you know that when you sign with labels, all that merchandising, all that money you just give away?
Mm-hmm.
And again, he was out there showing people, again, I'm going to take this street knowledge that I have, and I'm going to walk all over you in the boardroom with it. Because first thing I possess, and again, from his perspective, is I create and I control my destiny. I don't need anything from you. That means you're going to take more of me than I'm going to get of me.
Hey, y'all. Kenny,
this
is Alvin. Can I add something? Not only was he doing that, he was actually employing the neighborhood. Like when cats were coming out of jail, and whatnot. Yeah, he was giving them jobs. And the sad part about it, one of the stories is that the day he got shot, the store wasn't even open. One of his homeboys had just did a 20-year bid.
and was getting out.
He was lacing them up with some clothes, and that's why he was at the store. That's why he didn't have, you know, his security cats with him. You know what I'm saying?
That's how
it went down. That's pretty sad. He was just trying to take care of the neighborhood.
I hate to go all biblical on everybody, but there is this passage that says, what a man soweth, so shall he reap.
Well, and you know what, man?
And
that's what that brother said. In fact, you know, it's so funny because my son came over tonight. And he was he broke me off a little bit of his music, and you know we listened to a couple of tracks, and I never heard of the brother, but the brother's pit mad. He was, you could tell in his voice that what he was saying, he was for real about it, man.
You know what I'm saying?
He was for real about it. Again, I became not a fan. You know, I listened to a couple of tracks a day, but in fact, one of his verses, he spit that. He gonna die out here by his or somebody's door. He gonna die, and it's going to, the government gonna make it look like some kind of setup. But I'm just saying, he spoke about what happened today in his lyrics.
Wow.
So, and everybody had love for him. And I mean, he was a classic example of I started as a gangbanger because let me tell you, I heard him and I seen him. And you know how you just get the impression or the feeling when you look at somebody that they bout it? Well, let me tell you, man, my man looked like in the day when it was time to get what had to be got, he didn't have no problem doing it.
Right.
But
let me just add this. No, I just wanted to say, by no means am I justifying it. I'm just saying there are certain parts of the universe that I don't care who you are, you can't do anything about it because it's already set in motion. And so that happened for us. It seemed to be at an untimely time, especially when he was really starting to come into his own and do some positive things. But that universal law is out there, and nobody can escape it.
You know, it's so funny when you hear about that. And let me tell you, when I first heard about it, I ain't gonna tell you the true story here, but when I first heard about it. I'll put it out there. Me being 60, I'm putting it on the 60 now. I seen posted that Nipsey been shot. Yo, for real? I mean, yeah, I thought it was Nipsey Russell, man. You know what I'm saying? I was half asleep. But I'm sitting there, I woke up, I'm like, yo, Nipsey gone already. I'm thinking, who the hell would want to get Nipsey? What could Nipsey possibly be doing at 97? But then I woke up, put my glasses on, and then I seen it. I started following the story. But it sounds like, and again, I just know what I read. It sounds like he was a righteous brother, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he understood that, again, he understood what scholars don't seem to understand. We are not a freaking commodity. We are producers. We are builders. I don't need everybody's hand in my pot in order for me to make soup. And he was doing it. I mean, like I said, he bought the neighborhood up. He bought a strip mall. And again, like my brother Al was saying, he went back and hired those who couldn't get hired anywhere else. And watch this. On the funny side, and if you work for him, you knew who he was. So you trying to short his cash register, I'm pretty sure he was all right with that. You know what I mean? Because you knew who you worked for. You know, look, I'm going to give you a break, brother, but don't forget now. And again, it was forced into him, but they had to get some integrity out of that, man. So, again, I do a big shout-out to brother Nipsey Hussle, man. Again, soldier gone, but I'm sure that you prepared a warrior to stand in your place in your absence. And you're right. And you're right. Depending on, you know, the choices we make, determine the life we live or we lead. And they tell me, because, you know, I visit the West Coast for extensive periods, but they tell me when you get into the gang, that shit ain't no movie, man. It ain't like one day you just decide, I don't want to bang no more, and you done. They tell me that's not how that goes.
He was supposed to have some sort of meeting with the police or something too, and I think and start some alliance between, you know, like a lot of different gangs, because he represented the Crips, and he was trying to bring like the Crips together with the Bloods. They said that what's his name now is going to take over and continue the conference. Wow. The one that married Mariah Carey. What's his name?
Nick Cannon.
Yeah, Nick Cannon is supposed to continue for him.
Nick. No. Ooh. Wait a minute. Hold up. Don't get me wrong, all right? Because I don't know Nick Street Cred. Don't get me wrong. I'm just coming off the top right here for a minute. You can't walk in them shoes, man.
Nick wasn't going to like take care of the store business, but I think he was going to try like keep the organization going.
Okay, I mean, but I'm saying, you know, if Nick ain't got them colors, man, I mean, what the fuck Nick gonna do? What can Nick do?
I don't know. I guess they respect, you know, just the mere fact that somebody is trying to bring, you know, a different group together. I don't know. That's what
okay,
the streets say.
I hear what you're saying, but
Nick got juice. He ain't got that thug juice.
That's what I'm saying. And you know, brother AW, if bangers are talking and you ain't a banger, you can't. You know what I'm saying? Now Nick got that paper. Yeah, Nick got that paper. But you know what? Let me say this. Instead of trying to put the shade down on that, yo, go and do your thing, Nick. My bad. I had a moment. I'm back right now, though. Yeah, go ahead and do your thing, Nick. If you can go out there and bring some peace and harmony to whatever situation out there. But one thing my man Nick said early in life. Let me finish this and I'll get to you, A-Dub. He said, why are we always concentrating on going at each other? We got a common enemy, and it ain't each other.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, we need to pull up, resource up. And again, and I know when people hear black people say resource up and pull up right away, oh, they're going to get violent. No, that ain't what I'm talking about. Because again, we can't win the war on guns. No, so you have to come at your enemy differently. Because if it's just an all out shootout, yeah, we're gonna be on the short end of that.
Malcolm X said the enemy is the media.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Malcolm X used to always say that. He used to say that the enemy is the media, because the media puts information out there to stir up others to continue hate. So he was upset that the media was always fueling the fire. So that went on back then, and I have to say, in some cases, he's absolutely right.
That's
the
right.
Media puts a lot of false narratives, and then you go out
in all
there,
cases.
In all cases.
Yeah.
You know, That's why, you know, when they talk about gang banging and all of that, I mean, we don't know this man. He could have been so far removed from that. When you talk about gang banging, half of them cats let me just take y'all out a little trip here. Everybody know, remember that cat Nate Dogg, right? Remember Nate Dogg?
Yeah.
Do you know that Nate Dogg used to rob banks? He was a bank robber. That cat was robbing banks. So, and then he went from robbing banks into hip hop, and nobody never really knew like that side of him. he was out there bad, real bad, robbing banks. They have a document of how many banks he had robbed. I don't even know how he was in the street, to be honest with you. But
wow.
I think what it was, they said that Suge Knight had bailed him out and kept him out of, you know, out of prison. Used a lot of his money to keep and gave him the best lawyers and kept him out of jail.
Well, Suge Knight said, "I need somebody singing that hook, man."
No, he knew he was going to make tons of dough from them. You know what I'm saying? But so that's why, like I said, it doesn't surprise me that Nick Cannon would do this, because it's some money to be made in there, whether it's you know, behind the scenes or some connection or whatever. And maybe Nick do got that street cred that we don't know about. We see him clowning and shit, but that might not be him. You never know. You never know.
Yeah, you're right.
That clowning might be what he wants you to see. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because he straight clowned up on Mariah, didn't he? Yeah, nobody saw that coming. Yeah, nobody saw that coming, man. I remember when they hooked up, everybody was like, "Yo, Nick is an average dude." So that gave hope to a lot of cats, man.
Every time I think of like somebody who you don't think might be gangster, it brings me back to the Dave Chappelle show when he did that skit with
my man.
What's his name? Brady.
What's
right?
That?
Brady.
Brady.
Like to, yeah.
You said.
Yeah.
Who said, "Am I gonna have to shoot at Brother Dave?"
Yeah, Wayne Brady. When you saw Wayne Brady was gangster, man.
Yeah.
Nobody knew.
So,
nobody knew. Straight
hey,
gangster.
Listen. So, let me ask you a question. Hey, y'all, how often do y'all go out to eat, man? What do you think about average? Twice a week? Once a week? Four times a week? Wait, what are we doing here? Nobody?
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
The, everybody scared to say a number. If you say a number too high, somebody going to be like, "Damn, you don't never cook." But anyway, when you go out to dinner, what determines the amount of tip you leave somebody?
Service.
The bill. Yeah.
I go by service.
Percentage of the bill.
Service.
Oh, you could, but yeah, service makes sense. Yeah.
Service. Yeah.
I would take that.
I go by service.
You treat me well.
You get service, you get a bride.
You treat me well. Right. I'm going to tip you well.
A-right. Okay.
What you call treating you well? Give me some examples. Service, you out dining. And then let's set the table. You know, we got linen napkins here, so we're not at Burger King.
Yeah,
we got linen
back,
napkins,
you know,
here.
You need to come back and say to me, "Is everything all
right?"
I mean, make me feel. Yeah, you need to make me feel like I'm somebody up in this bitch. I mean, that's
what I'm saying. There you go, man.
Come back and say to me, "Is everything all right? You need new water, something." You know what I mean? Ask me something. Just don't walk. You know, don't put my food down and go chat with your peoples in the back. Nah, don't do that. Come over here, say something to me. I'd rather you bother me than not say nothing. You know what I'm saying? Bother me. I tell you, no, I don't need nothing else. But let me tell you that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So let me ask you then.
Don't make me have to look for you. That would not
say, "Nah, I don't want to look for you, man.
Look for you. Your ass, forget about it. You be done.
You say, and there's going to be a problem.
It's going to be a problem. I got to look for you. I got to look for you to give you a tip and the bill. Nah, that ain't going to happen. That's not going to happen.
Do you believe in automatic tips? Do you believe that because they get less than minimum wage, and that's part of the industry, a part of the job, do you feel obligated to give them some money?
Well, me personally, if I'm going in an establishment and I already know that, then
yeah.
I'm with that. If that's how it is, you know, I mean, but I would choose not to go to those places if I could. I would choose not to. I would choose. I would choose not to.
I'm with you 100% on that. I'm not giving them somebody my money that don't deserve it.
Right.
You gotta act like you want it. You know what I mean? I'm not just giving it to you. Like you said, you bring me my plate and leave. No, you stick around.
Yeah.
See if I need some pepper.
You just say, post up for a minute, man. Yeah, post up. I went out to dinner last week, right? And I thought the service was lousy. And I didn't want to leave a tip. So a little conversation popped off at the table. Not at my table, naturally, but the table behind me. Yo, I had to sit down and break this down. No, people don't just get a tip from me. And again, you don't have to give me spectacular service for a tip. But as long as you give me good service, you in the tip range. Now, when you do that spectacular shit, then I'm going to throw a little more on there for you. But if you come at me and I'm not happy with the service at all, I'm not leaving you anything. I'm sorry. Period. Nothing.
I hear you.
Amen.
I'm with you.
Jenny, let me ask you something. You know, I don't know if you've seen, but in New York, and I'm sure we've seen this, everybody on this on the podcast seen it. New York, they have those letters out in front of your restaurant, like A, B, C.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Help.
Yeah. But what I'm saying now, out here in Jersey, where I'm staying, they don't have that. So how do you, how do you feel about you go to a restaurant, you have no idea what rating it is versus going in New York City where you have ratings on restaurants? I mean, think about it. I mean, if you're saying a place could be well known, and if it's a C, you ain't going in it. You know what I'm saying? If the one next door is an A, you're gonna go to the A. But we don't have that. We don't have that system here in Jersey.
Well,
I don't know if they have it with what you say.
They don't. But let me tell you something. All right? Do you really think that the restaurants in New York some of them are deserving? But some of those A restaurants, they probably some C restaurants with an envelope. Come on, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I slip you a little something, and then you make that C. You make it an A. You make it an A over there, right? So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know if that was it. If I wanted to go out, I'm going out to the restaurant. Because, again, for years I've been eating restaurants with no ratings on them. You know, but again, everybody gets in on the Chinese food, and I see the videos and shit, man. But I got to tell you, man, it hasn't deterred me from eating Chinese food. I will go to that corner store and order me some damn pork fried rice and some chicken wings. I'm in quick, yo. And all I can do is hope it's good, man. But I'm going to get it, though. I'm going to get it, man. Every time I step foot in Jersey, man, I go. That's what I need to do. Because out in Ohio,
how would that reflect your tipping? If you do you tip more in an A restaurant or would you tip more in a C? I mean, I don't know, right?
This now. In that A restaurant, right off the bat.
what would you say?
I said in that A restaurant, right off the bat, you probably gonna spend about $200 or $300 more, maybe. You know what I'm saying? Than the B restaurant. So just the fact that your bill gonna be more, you could leave the same percentage, and they gonna come off with more. So, okay. Like I said, I don't care if it's A, B, or C. If I go in there and you give me good service, and say the bill was like $180. Yeah, man, I'll leave you about $30. I would.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, but then again,
for me, it all depends on the service. Even if the food.
Well,
that's
true. Yeah, I mean, that's the main thing. Yeah, if you give me good service, I'm gonna hit you off nice because I understand that business that you in. I understand that you could come to work one of them, the first customer that say anything to me, you know, I'm going at them. I get that. So if I caught you on a good day and you gave me good service, after I leave you the first tip, when I come back to the restaurant, then you remember the face and you automatically go into Right. You'll be thinking, what did I do last time he was here that made him give me so much money? That's what you're going to do. And that's where I want to put you in that place right there. Yeah, man. It's crazy out here. You know, again, we got about 5 minutes left on this podcast. But I just want to say, man, and we can't finish this off. That's why I'm sending it out as a little teaser. I want to see the Mueller report.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I want to see the Mueller report. Nobody
like
else.
I gave you that.
That
I
would
gave
be
you
nice.
That HIC, Kenny. Right? You remember? You saw what
yeah.
I said?
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, what is HIC?
Hypocrite in charge.
Hypocrite in charge, man. Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah. That's a hypocrite in charge.
Yeah.
Because now he making fun of Biden. He said Biden too touchy feely. He got some damn nerve. Come on now. He got some nerve. Biden too touchy.
Do.
I mean, come on now. Come on. This man talking about Biden touching women
hey,
don't want to be touched. Are you kidding
but
me?
But once again, that man said, let me take everything that you're going to come at me with. Let me just beat you to the punch. Watch this. Because now when they come back at him, he's in a position to say, they just responded to what I said. Oh, like I said, I think he'll probably be a better businessman after he's not the president and he get out of jail. I think he probably be pretty good.
But the truth of the matter, he never was a good businessman. He was a good hustler, but he wasn't a businessman.
No, well, he's going to be a better hustler. Cause I think these 4 years of him messing up this country, I think he learned some things, man. And it ain't going to help us much too late to help us, but I think he learned some things, man.
I saw an interesting statistic today. They were saying how many millennials that are ready to start voting this year. They said, in 2020, they said they cannot wait to start voting because the college students are going to vote on anybody other than Trump this year. In 20. Now that's interesting because you've never heard such young voters even say that. The ones that are just getting ready to register to vote are already saying how they're going to be voting against Trump in this next election. So,
you have to remember now. You got to remember.
Yeah, you got to remember what Public Enemy said, right? Don't believe the hype.
Yeah, don't believe it. Don't believe it.
Just because they say it, that don't make it true.
It would be very interesting.
Or not only that, think about this.
Right.
We want a new Trump, but just not with the Trump exterior.
You know what they said?
Yeah.
You know what they said they're looking at? They said they're looking at someone that looks like them. And the youngest one is Budinger.
Budinger. I know who you're talking about. Yeah, Budilegge. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, the gay mayor.
He's a gay cat.
They liking him. So
he's got an impressive record too, though. He was in the military.
Yeah, mayor, man. Now, don't get me wrong. There is no damn experience for the president of the United States. Understand that. All your shit you've done in life, it helps you, but don't nothing prepare you for that job. So when people start talking, I don't want to hear all that shit. You just understand how the deal works better. So again, I was gonna say, as a mayor, he kind of young in this shit, but Trump was nothing, and he got it. So I hear him. And when I say nothing, I mean he didn't have any political office.
It's going to be interesting, to say the least, though. It really
is.
It's going to be interesting.
Just Cory Booker come through, man. I think somebody got to buddy up with him, or he need a little more strength on his ticket, or he need to be able to say, Vice President ain't a bad job. And we got to get you in there, though. Hey, but listen, that almost brings our podcast to an end. All right, thank you for hanging out with Hodge to Hodge on Blog Talk Radio, Wednesday night podcast, The Attic. stop by next Wednesday night. We'll have a plethora. we'll have a plethora of topics
right now.
To entertain you with. Hey, good night, Cass.
Good night, everyone.
Peace.
Good night, AW.
Good night, my brother.
Hey, thanks for stopping by.
Peace.
Baby bro, you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.